This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey. First, the good news. South African runner Caster Semenya, who underwent gender verification tests this summer, will retain her gold medal, title, and prize money after her August victory in the women's 800-meter race at the World Track and Field Championships in Berlin. The results of her gender test, which stirred much controversy this year, will remain confidential. The International Association of Athletics told Reuters, quote, "The implications of the scientific findings on Caster's health and life going forward will be analyzed by Caster, and she will make her own decision on her future. Whatever she decides, ours is to respect her decision." Unquote. More news to cheer this week. Leaders of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice urged lawmakers to remove language from the Anti-Choice Stupak Amendment to the House version of the health care reform bill, which restricts federal funding for abortion. Meanwhile, the Center for Reproductive Rights in New York ran a TV ad in the Washington, D.C. area to put the heat on pro-choice legislators to turn back the Stupak Amendment. Cheers for British police chiefs proposing legislation to give British women the right to know if their partner has a history of domestic violence. This law comes as a result of the Sarah Law campaign, established after the July 2000 murder of Sarah Payne. Cheers for the Irish bishop challenging a Vatican-enforced ban that prohibits discussing the ordination of women. Cheers for the lifting of the requirement for young women seeking legal permanent resident status in the United States to receive the human papillomavirus vaccination. This requirement, mandated by federal immigration authorities for women ages 11 to 26, was implemented in July of 2008. Women's and immigrants' rights groups argued that targeting the gender-specific condition was both costly and discriminatory. Cheers for Michelle Obama, who addressed a group of young women at a luncheon in Denver as part of the White House initiative to promote mentoring for young women on careers, financial literacy, and other skills. Good news for pregnant women with multiple sclerosis, or MS. They may have a higher rate of certain pregnancy complications, but overall, their pregnancies are as healthy as women without the nerve disorder. And cheers for the Verizon Wireless Hope Line program, which donated $40,000 to 8 organizations in the San Francisco Bay Area that focus on Asian women affected by domestic violence. And now for the bad news. A 20-year-old divorced Somali woman found guilty of adultery was stoned to death on November 17th. Her partner's punishment was 100 lashes. The judge who sentenced the woman works for the group Al-Shabaab and said that the woman was guilty of adultery for having had an affair with an unmarried man and giving birth to a stillborn baby. It is believed to be the second time that a woman has been stoned to death for adultery by this group. Local villagers reported that the woman was taken to public grounds and buried up to her waist and then stoned. Earlier this month, the pregnant girlfriend of a married man was spared being stoned until she gives birth. More news to jeer this week. We jeer Libyan leader Muammar al-Qaddafi's attempt to convert 200 Italian women to Islam. The women were recruited by an agency, quote, "seeking attractive girls between 18 and 35 years old," unquote, and they were promised 60 euros, or about $90, and, quote, "some Libyan gifts." Bad news related to women and STDs in the United States. U.S. female teens ages 15 to 19 had 4,531 cases of chlamydia and gonorrhea in 2008, with African American women having the highest rates. This is according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention Statistics, which also indicate that syphilis rates among women increased 33% from 2007 to 2008. A North Carolina state senator says that the weekend arrest of a 25-year-old Fayetteville, North Carolina mother on human trafficking and felony child abuse charges shows the trafficking trade is more prevalent than most people realize. Police said that Antoinette Nicole Davis offered up her 5-year-old daughter Shania for prostitution. A body believed to be the girl's was found later in a wooded area near Sanford, North Carolina. The glass ceiling is alive and well in Chicago, where women remain underrepresented in the top-ranking positions in Chicago's 50th largest public companies. Figures from fiscal year 2008 show that 14% of companies have female directors, a drop of about one percentage point from the previous year.
7 companies have no female directors and 17 have no female executive officers. Women of color represent only about 13% of directors and about 2% of executive officers. And even though companies with women in top positions perform better and are more socially responsible, the glass ceiling is fully operational in California as well. According to a study by the Los Angeles School of Business, women hold only 10.6% of the top management and board positions in California's largest 400 firms. This number is down from 10.9% in 2008. 46% of the companies have no female executives. Jeers to the Mexican state of Veracruz, which became the country's 17th state to declare that life begins at conception. The state's government also asked the nation's Congress to consider outlawing abortion. We jeer a 200-year-old law banning women from wearing trousers in Paris, which is still technically in force. This rule, banning women from, quote, dressing like men, was first introduced in 1800 by the Parisian chief of police and has survived repeated attempts to repeal it. And jeers to the 54-year-old rabbi currently on trial for offering cocaine to girls in exchange for sex. This week we note that the U.S. Breastfeeding Committee reminds employers of the significance and benefits of worksite lactation. According to a CDC survey, 75% of new mothers initiate breastfeeding, but rates of exclusive breastfeeding at 6 months and continued breastfeeding at 12 months are far below national standards. Currently, only 24 of the 50 U.S. states have legislation providing worksite support for breastfeeding. This week, the U.S. Senate begins debate on the health care reform bill. The Senate version of the bill does not include a federal abortion coverage ban. Unlike the House bill, the Senate version protects the status quo for reproductive health care coverage for women. Not a single Republican is expected to support the bill, so the Senate will need all 58 Democrats and the 2 independents to reach the minimum number of votes to ensure against Republican attempts to filibuster. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists issued new guidelines recommending that annual pap smears for cervical cancer screening not begin before a woman is 21. The group also recommended less frequent subsequent tests for cervical cancer. Previously, they recommended that cervical cancer screening begin 3 years after first sexual intercourse or by age 21, whichever occurred first. And experts and patients alike are fired up about a U.S. government-funded group's new mammogram guidelines that set the breast cancer screening age for women at 50 and not 40 and counsels against breast self-exams. Guidelines from the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, an influential panel of independent experts, say that women in their 40s should stop having annual mammograms and older women should have an exam once every 2 years instead of annually. An antidepressant has been dubbed the Viagra for women after 3 clinical trials show that the drug significantly improved sexual desire and satisfaction in women. These trials were carried out among 2,000 women in the United States, Canada, and Europe using 4 different doses of the drug. Only the highest dosage was effective. Winners of the 6th annual Stevie Awards for Women in Business, an international competition, were announced on November 13th. Out of over 1,000 nominees in 54 categories, top picks included Anna Chagnon, Shuni Yi, Lindsay Phillips, Melissa Fields Tugwell, Shabnan Rezai, Jennifer Oppenshaw, and Nancy Long. The competition is called the Stevie Awards after the Greek word Stephanos, which means crowned. We note that a series of articles called Custody Lost, published in Working Mother magazine, explores the extent to which working mothers are losing custody of their children after divorce. The magazine reports that 2.2 million divorced women in the United States don't have primary custody of their children. An estimated 50% of fathers who seek custody are currently granted it. And we note that while pregnant women are considered at highest risk for the H1N1 virus, they are among the Britons most averse to getting vaccinated for fear of side effects. Dr. Chris Udenze, a family doctor based in England, told Reuters, quote, "In all the pregnant women we've offered the vaccine to, I think only about 1 in 20 has agreed," unquote.
These news briefs were compiled by Kimberly St. Louis, an editorial intern at the Women's E! News. Rita Henley-Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E! News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E! News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.